Good morning.
I got to.
And now to Reverend Nancy.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to add one more thing to the upcoming things at camp. On June 9th, that week, they're having a retreat, and I'm going to be at the retreat. I've been there the last couple of years, and it's so much fun. There are workshops, and we have psychic fairs and just different things, but the workshops are a lot of fun. And I'm just letting you know that it's that week, and hopefully some of you can make it. So now let us join for an invocation. Mother, Father, God, gracious, divine creator, we are gathered here today to unite in love and knowing your presence in our lives. We invite the presence of loved ones in spirit, guides, masters, healers, and angels to be present. May our ears and minds be open to hear the messages and the wisdom spoken. We are thankful for the opportunity to gather with our spiritual community. Thank you. Amen. And now let's ease into a meditation, a short meditation. And this will be a springtime meditation, centering around tulips. So if you could just get comfortable in your seats. Make sure your feet are touching the floor so you have that connection with the earth, which is a wonderful connection when we're meditating because we want to maintain that connection with our beautiful Mother Earth. And now we'll take a few deep breaths. Breaths that can calm and soothe. So, as you're sitting there, relaxing, breathe in what is beautiful, what is good, and what is true on that lovely oxygen that comes and fills our body. And hold that in your stomach, in your belly, in your solar plexus, whatever term is comfortable for you. Hold that oxygen as long as you want and then release. And release whatever is not good and beautiful and true. So let's take another deep breath. And release. And one more deep breath. The good, the beautiful, and the true come to us on our breath. And then release. And now I invite you to visualize that you are in a field of tulips, the springtime flower that we all love to see popping up in the springtime. And you can be anywhere. If you want to visualize being in Holland, where tulips originated, I believe, that's fine. Or in somebody's backyard with a field of tulips. And just imagine that you're there and see all the beautiful colors, the pinks and the reds, the purples, oranges, yellows. Feel that beautiful connection with these flowers. Tulips represent renewal and new beginnings, because they're one of the first flowers that bloom in the spring. So feel that. Feel that renewal that those tulips are bringing. Also, tulips represent love. You feel the love. The love of the divine creator through those tulips, through those beautiful flowers. And now, as we're feeling that connection, let's say a little prayer for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. And may I live with ease. And we'll say that one more time. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy, and may I live with ease. And now, a guide or an angel is appearing and handing you an orange tulip, a beautiful orange tulip. Orange tulips are bright and uplifting, and it raises your spirits. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. And may I live with ease. This orange tulip can represent a spiritual connection. You can feel that spiritual connection, the connection with your creator, a connection with a guide, a spirit in that you go to, you turn to, or someone here on earth that you have that spiritual connection with. And now may we find someone that we want to bless with our little prayer. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. And may you live with ease. That blessing goes to that person, that group of people, wherever you want to send it. Feel that spiritual connection as you say this prayer for them. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And again, we cherish this orange tulip that has been given to us. Now take a look again at the field of tulips, going on and on and on, beautiful tulips that bring us joy, and we can rejoice in what we have been given. And now it's time to return to our homes, wherever we're at. But one more time, we're going to say the prayer, the blessing for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. And may I live with ease. This is a prayer we can say anytime to not only lift our spirits, but to feel safe. and happy and healthy and living with ease. Now take another deep breath and come back to your body. Maybe feel your fingers tingling and your toes tingling. And open your eyes. And we are ready to now hear the sermon from Reverend Cindy Hoffman, who I'm sure many of you are familiar with Cindy. She is such a vital part of this whole online service community. And I consider Cindy one of my spiritual soul sisters in this in this path we're on and in these online services. And sit back and enjoy. And we will be, let me see. We will be joining the song. Well, I wrote that down somewhere. The joy, 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 joy down in my heart. That's what the song is. And Cindy's theme for her sermon is May, a time of renewal. So sit back and enjoy. We're going to have some really wonderful words of wisdom. Thank you.
All right. Let's rock, Reverend Cindy. I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. All right, let's have some fun for a second. If you guys want to unmute yourself and say the where's, that would be fun. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Where? Down in my heart to stay. Yay! Thanks for playing along. All right, Reverend Cindy.
That was awesome. Oh, thank you so much, Nancy, Reverend Nancy, and of course, Laura. Gosh, that was so much fun. I want to just keep doing that. It's so much fun. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. Sit back, enjoy, decompress. This is our moment to be away from the outside world. So just sink down in the chair and get comfortable. Today's sermon, May, the Eternal Promise of Renewal, is inspired by an article I read in the Almanac and text from Vedanta writings. But first, scripture from the Bhagavad Gita. Change. Change is the law of the universe. Change is inevitable, everyone. We can either resist it or embrace it. Change. Change is the law of the universe. Bhagavad Gita. The spiritual significance of the month of May can be traced back to ancient pagan traditions where it was celebrated as a time of fertility and abundance. In these traditions, May was a time to honor the earth's renewal and the potential for new life. And the celebration of May Day or Beltane marked the halfway point between spring and the summer solstice. It was a time of great importance as it symbolized the peak of spring and the beginning of the warm, active months ahead. And as with many early holidays, May Day was rooted in agriculture. Springtime festivities filled with song and dance celebrated the sown fields starting to sprout. Cattle were driven to pasture, special bonfires were lit, and doors of houses as well as livestock were decorated with yellow May flowers. May Day has a long history and tradition in England, some of which eventually did come to America. For example, children would dance around the maypole holding onto colorful ribbons, and people would bring in the May by gathering wildflowers and green branches, weaving floral hoops and hair garlands, and crowning a May king and queen. And for younger people, there was the possibility of courtship. If a young man and woman paired by sundown and their courtship continued so that the couple could get to know each other and possibly marry in 6 weeks later on June's midsummer day, they say this is how the June wedding became a tradition. Interestingly, from the late 19th century through the 1950s, the Maypole dance and festivities became a rite of spring at some U.S. colleges. Now, I wasn't born at that time, but hard to believe something so innocent and beautiful would be taking place at our colleges when we see what's happening today. But by the 1960s and the 1970s, interest waned, and today the Maypole dance might be celebrated in elementary schools, if at all. So with all that said, why are we talking about May and the spiritual significance of it? Because it is about a promise of renewal. It is an everlasting, tangible promise. In the middle of the season, there is clear difference in the energy compared to the beginning of the season. You can feel it. You can see evidence of it. Just look around you. The leaves are out. The flowers are up. The chirping of birds is endless, and the wisp of a butterfly goes by. The promise of renewal has returned, everyone, and it will always return. And the promise of renewal serves as a reminder to all of us that just as nature undergoes a process of renewal and transformation, individuals can also experience personal growth and spiritual rejuvenation. Spiritual rejuvenation. We not only have the ability to renew ourselves, but we have the power to do so. Vedanta, one of the world's most ancient spiritual philosophies and one of its broadest based on the Vedas, the sacred scriptures of India. It is the philosophical foundation of Hinduism. But while Hinduism includes aspects of Indian culture, Vedanta is universal in its application and is equally relevant to all countries, all cultures, and all religious backgrounds. According to Vedanta, God is infinite existence, infinite consciousness, and infinite bliss. They say that Vedanta philosophy can't be used with any aspect of God, and that a personal aspect of God is not essential to spiritual practice if this is what you choose. However, using a personal form of God can certainly help us focus the emotional, devotional component of our nature to help us along our spiritual path. Again, if that is what you choose. Remember, everyone, God, infinite intelligence, universal source, he, she, it is personal to you, to each and every one of us. But Vedanta still maintains that God can be personal, assuming human form in every age. Christ, Mother Mary, Buddha, or other great spiritual beings can all be used as symbolizing the personal form of God to you. But most importantly, God dwells within our own hearts as the divine self or Atman. Vedanta says that Atman is never born, nor will it ever die. Neither stained by our failings nor affected by the fluctuations of the body or the mind, the Atman is not subject to our grief or despair or disease or ignorance. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 17 goes like this. It's pretty powerful. The spirit by whom with this entire universe is pervaded is indestructible. No one can destroy the imperishable spirit. It is pure, perfect, free from limitations. The Atman, Vedanta declares, is one with Brahman, or God's source. Wow, what are they talking about, everyone? They're talking about the soul, the immortal soul of the human being. The Atman is not the body, nor the personality, or the ego of the person, but the pure and divine consciousness of the soul. In the Upanishads, ancient scripture of India, the Atman is described as the innermost nature of every living being, pure and unchanged. Neither birth, nor death, nor rebirth can alter Atman, the soul. Natural law, energy cannot be destroyed. It can only change. The greatest temple of God lies within the human heart, everyone. Vedanta asserts that the goal of life is to realize and to manifest our own divinity. And this divinity is our real nature, not what you see in body form, not what we have accomplished in our work. Although all of that plays a part in realizing our real nature. And the realization of it is our birthright. We are moving towards this goal as we grow with knowledge and life experiences every single day. Just like I said, whatever experience we go through with work, family, daily life, 24/7 plays a part. Write that down. We are moving towards this goal as we grow with knowledge and life experiences every single day. And guess what? In spiritual embodiment and in physical embodiment, our learning does not end here. We continue it when we step over to the other side. Wow. Change, big and small. It's an everyday occurrence. Yet we are often startled by its arrival and disappointed by its reminder of impermanence. Sometimes change can be planned and sometimes it can just simply show up. Change per a plan we have made is certainly more comfortable because we are in control of the change and it occurs smoothly and on our timeline. We cling to the feelings of comfort and control that accompany stability and predictability. Hey, I admit, I like that feeling because it's predictable. And this steady state makes us feel secure with a feeling of being in control of things. But change that just shows up is far more difficult to accept because, first of all, it arrived unannounced. Surprise! And secondly, it arrived without initiation from us, sometimes. And thirdly, how do I control this? Change messes with our life. It removes us from that place of feeling that all is well and on a comfortable level. And it makes things feel messy or uneasy, even chaotic for sure. But everyone, change is rebirth. It is renewal. Whether we like it or not, change occurs in order to renew, reset, and redirect. Write that down. Change occurs in order for us to renew, reset, redirect. And the end result is always for our highest and best, even if unbeknownst to us at that moment. Once again, from the Holy Bhagavad Gita, this excerpt of teaching from Lord Krishna and it is only a small section of it. I'm not going to take time to read it all, but it goes like this. Whatever has happened for good. Whatever is happening is also for good. Whatever will happen shall also be good. What belongs to you today belonged to someone else yesterday and will be someone else's tomorrow. Change is the law of the universe. So how better can we start to handle change? Well, one of my favorite people, Dr. Wayne Dyer, says, take baby steps. And I agree with that. Take baby steps. Embrace simplicity a bit more so that the mind is less likely to always want, I need. Guess what? Need and want cost money. Yep. How about becoming less rigid in everyday likes and dislikes? Even things like shifting our schedule just a little bit or allowing someone else to order our food can make us more pliable. Or how about we order something different? I'm guilty of that. What I like. I had peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day of my life going through elementary school, junior high, and high school. And my mother said to me, Cindy Lee, don't you want something different? And I said, no, I love peanut butter and jelly. You can change the jelly. You can change the type of peanut butter. So I thought that was pretty flexible, but I still had my peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day. And how about become less I-focused by engaging in more selfless service? I'm telling you, when you start doing or being of service to others, offering service without any expectation of personal benefit, oh, wow, what an upliftment. And life seems to get easier. It runs smoother. It loosens the hold of ego. In actuality, what is going on is you are being blessed for the services that you are offering without any expectation. You will be blessed. Opening to change is about letting go of ego, expectation, even fear. So by practicing to be more pliable, flexible, wow, these practices can help us to establish a deeper level of consciousness, which will benefit us in so many different ways. Baby steps. Because change is inevitable, and it will continue to arrive on our doorstep just as the daffodils and the tulips arrive, just as the leaves on the trees, the birds and the butterflies arrive. It is inevitable. It is a promise. May is the promise of renewal. It is a time for change. And change, remember, another opportunity to live life more abundantly. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Renfrew and Cindy. Excuse me. Yes, change is the law of the universe. And, you know, I think we all have times when we welcome change and sometimes when we go, oh, this is just fine this way. I'm not really wanting change. So that was such a wonderful message about change and springtime in May. So thank you very much. At this time, we will now end our recording and move to the second half of the service.